Lesson 20, The Actual Birth Date. This lesson begins on page 139 of your book. This audio text version contains the reading of any listed footnotes. In the last lesson, I identified three patriarchs in the chain between Adam and Abraham, which carried a greater element of biblical significance than the others, Jared, Enoch, and Methuselah. Each man was singled out, by unique characteristics the Bible revealed about him. Upon a closer examination of each man, what each one represents in the final age, becomes crystal clear. Each man's life was a prophecy, of what is soon to come upon mankind. Only God Almighty is capable of such a feat. We begin with Jared, the father of Enoch. See the chart on page 140 of your book. Notice that Jared is the sixth generation removed from Adam. The number six is the number of man. 4:1, man was created on the sixth day following creation. Another is men are appointed to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. The sixth commandment prohibits murder, killing of a man. The definition of murder is, the unlawful killing of another person. There are three parts to human government, legislative, executive and judicial. The man known as the Antichrist will rule over all three, creating an unholy trinity of 666. He will rule the world with an unyielding iron fist, which will bring mankind to the brink of destruction. Jared was 162 years of age, when he fathered Enoch. Next in line we see Enoch. He is the son of Jared, and is also the father of Methuselah. Enoch is the seventh generation removed from Adam. The number seven is the number of God. It represents completeness and perfection, of both the physical and spiritual universe. The week is complete on the seventh day. The seventh day is holy to the Lord, and designed as the Sabbath for mankind. The number seven is utilized throughout the Bible, many times, and symbolizes God's foundation. Thus, the removal of Enoch, between Jared and Methuselah, is a perfect picture of God removing his followers, at some point in the midst of the tribulation. Enoch was 65 years of age when he became the father of Methuselah. Review the graphic on page 140. It shows the relationship between the three men, as well as the father's age, at the time of the birth of his son. The third person in line is Methuselah. His is the eighth generation down from Adam. The number eight in the Bible signifies destruction. All of mankind was destroyed, along with Methuselah, in the biblical flood. The number eight is also a figure meaning a new beginning of resurrection and regeneration. Noah and his family were the people to lead the beginning of a new era, a new order. In the same way, mankind will be destroyed at the end of the age, with only the Hebrew remnant in Petra, surviving the second coming of Christ. But they too will see the regeneration of the planet and the mass resurrection of persons who will populate the earth for the millennial reign of Christ. Therefore, I took the two intervals between these three men and added them to our original interval, that being the time from Abraham to Christ. This interval equals 1753 years. We now have our three intervals matching the three intervals of Daniel. Examine the graphic on page 141, showing the three intervals of 1753 years, plus 162 years, plus 65 years. These three numbers total up to 1980. This is the total number of years between the birth of Christ to the birth of the Antichrist. Thus, we can add 1980 years to the year when Christ was born, to arrive at the year the Antichrist was born. But, we are not yet done. There is one small adjustment remaining in Scripture. We need now to examine the timing for the start of the flood a bit closer. When the biblical flood happened, we don't know for certain what method those people were using to account for time. The Hebrew calendar wasn't brought into use until after the Hebrews departed Egypt, approximately 1,400 years after the flood. But history suggests it was a lunar-based calendar. A lunar calendar is one where, The cycles of the moon's phases are used to create synodic months, which are then applied to the annual movement of the sun. Contrary to what some people believe, the ancient peoples were highly intelligent. So, when Moses wrote down the timing of the flood, the number of days over which it happened, is completely accurate. From our point in time, there is one problem. There's nothing in scripture to tie the flood to a specific day in time. Using the moon alone is problematic. The lunar orbit is highly elliptical, which causes the interval between phases to vary, due to the moon's orbital speed, when viewed from Earth. It does not appear constant. Plus, the phases are influenced by where a person happens to be standing on the Earth. The Earth subtends an angle of about 2 degrees, when viewed from the moon. That means an observer on Earth sees the moon differently when it's on the eastern horizon than they would when it's on the western one. The moon moves 12 degrees around its orbit each day, so this too changes the timing of the phases. Adding in the Earth's rotation is another factor. Plus, if the sky is obscured by any phenomena at all, this will impede determining a precise time of the moon entering its phases. All of this is to say that without some marker which we can anchor an event to, making intelligent decisions about when it happened, inside of a year, is impossible. While the duration of the flood can be determined from scripture, we have absolutely zero information with which to pinpoint either its beginning or ending date. Like with all the genealogical records, we only have the year. So, any specific day which the Genesis account delivers to us must be considered for future events, where an actual date can be determined. Let's look at Genesis, chapter 7, verse 11. Thought 1, in the 600th year of Noah's life, Thought 2, at the time of the renewal, Thought 3, on the 7th and 10th day of the new moon, Thought 4, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, Thought 5, and the floodgates of the sky were opened. Footnote number 23, Genesis, chapter 7, verse 11. Since there was no month defined at this point in scripture, I instead used the root words, in place of what appears in your translation. The flood took place in the 600th year of Noah's life. Again, we don't know the specific day. But, by reading this verse, we have been given a couple of clues to help us determine the true timing of the interval. The word for time is, hasanni, and usually means, second, or to repeat. The root of this word is, shana, and means, time, to do again. The word for renewal is, bahodes, and usually translates, in the month. The root word of it, is kodesh, and means, new moon, repair, renewal. The same word appears for the word, new moon. As you can see in Thought 2, the Bible is explaining to us when the deluge began, hence the words, at the time of renewal. God told Moses he would blot out man from the face of the earth, and start over. Footnote number 124, Genesis, chapter 6, verse 7. Thought 3 informs us when the deluge was to begin, on the 7th and 10th day of the new moon. So, Thought 4 tells us, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open. And Thought 5 describes, the floodgates of the sky were opened. Thus, we are to add 7 and 10 days onto the previous interval for Noah's life, to come up with the precise timing for the beginning of the great flood. Here's where it begins to become interesting. Recall that Methuselah drowned in the flood. His genealogy supports that statement. Since we must expand the interval for when the destruction from the flood began, the same interval of 7 and 10 days must be added onto Methuselah's life interval as well. Examine the graphic on page 144. It depicts adding 7 days, and then 10 days, onto the 65 years from Enoch's birth, until he sired Methuselah. Recall, we were seeking the total interval between the birth of Christ to the birth of the Antichrist. This interval can now be stated to be 1980 years, plus 7 days, plus 10 days, for a total of 1,980 years and 17 days. As you will see, nothing God does is without purpose. Another problem we seem to have is with the actual birth date of Jesus Christ. When he was born, there were no hospital, county, or state records which we can fall back upon. The only real indicator we have is the fact that mankind changed the calendar to reflect the accounting of time before Christ, B.C., and after his birth, A.D. And even this accounting wasn't accomplished until around the 5th century. The A.D. stands for the Latin phrase Anno Domini, which means, in the year of our Lord. There remains some controversy over the actual date. But, since a significant portion of actual historical data has been supported by NASA's work over the years, I'm satisfied that God allowed mankind to get our current date of the birth of Christ correct. In my book, The End is Near, I prove conclusively that 33 AD is the only year even close to the reported time of the crucifixion of Christ that works. It's the only date within a decade where the days of the week as reported in Scripture line up with the full moon required for Passover. And, allowing for the ministry of Jesus to have lasted 3.5 years, means it would have begun in the year 30 AD. As I have already shown, Jesus was around 30 when he began his ministry, meaning his birth must have been near the end of 1 AD. As such, in the absence of more credible data, I'm confident using December 25, 1 BC, as the birthdate of Jesus Christ. In the diagram below, I've added the days from Noah onto the front and back of our 1980 years. Examine the diagram on page 146 of your book. It depicts 7 days plus 1980 years plus 10 days. So, we are now going to add 7 days onto the front of the 1980 years and 10 days on the back to complete our interval. Please notice that this is being done once again in 3 intervals. January 1, 1 AD, minus 7 days, equals December 25, 1 BC. It's not a coincidence that moving backwards 7 days from January 1, 1 AD, yields us the celebrated birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our starting point of our stated interval. We add 10 days onto the end to determine our ending point. December 31, 1980, plus 10 days, equals January 10, 1981. This date is the prophesied birthdate for the man we call the Antichrist. Go ahead and be as skeptical as you wish, but based on all the biblical data, this does indeed match the birthdate of the Antichrist. As we reach just the halfway point of this book, it's getting increasingly more difficult to overcome the mountain of evidence. We now know who the Antichrist is, even if he doesn't yet realize who he is. Lesson 20, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, God chose 3 biblical patriarchs to complete the prophecy for the birth of the Antichrist. Explain how it works. Question 2, Genesis, chapter 7, verse 11, defines the day the deluge of the flood began. Explain how God used this information to define a specific date. Question 3, explain 3 of the difficulties of using a lunar-based calendar. Question 4, why do we split our calendar into BC and AD? Explain the accuracy of 1 BC. Chapter 4, Study Notes. This space is reserved and available within your book to make any notes you might want to record concerning any material from Chapter 4. Chapter Memory Verse, Matthew, chapter 1, verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, Go, Satan. For it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and serve him only. We recommend committing this verse to memory. Simply write it out on a flashcard, with the biblical reference on one side, and the verse, on the other. God blesses those who hide the word of the Lord in their heart. Congratulations on finishing chapter 4. When you're ready, you can proceed on to chapter 5, Satan's Revelation. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button twice on your browser to return to the table of contents page. Then click on the button adjacent to Chapter 5. Next, click on the adjacent blue box, for Chapter 5, Satan's Revelation. When it opens, click on the teal colored box entitled, Chapter 5 Overview, to hear an introduction for the chapter. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Chapter 5, labeled 5.0, Satan's Revelation, to hear the next lesson.